We attended a wedding this last weekend.
Uh-huh. Sorry to hear that.
Yeah. Well, actually, it was very good. I have to say, it was actually heartwarming. But anyway.
All right. I'm happy for you.
Thank you. It was a nephew.
Okay.
Anyway, shout out to you, Alex and Kendra. But you see all kinds of different clothing at a wedding.
Yeah.
Mostly older folks are wearing, the fellas are wearing a coat and maybe a tie, but at least a coat.
But you've got to be over at least 45 to do that.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
But, there was that, from that all the way down to guy in Converse and baseball hat.
Nice. It's a good look for you.
Hi, this is Jason and Mark with Interman Radio.
A free service to thinkers everywhere, demystifying the Bible by asking the questions your neighborhood pastor is afraid to answer.
We're going through some parables. I believe the last parable we did was the parable of the net.
Okay.
If I'm remembering right. This week, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 22 to begin with. Now, this can go a lot of different directions. And out of the gate, I'm just going to save everybody a lot of time.
Oh, is this the way to make a short story long?
Yeah.
Exactly. Go for it.
Exactly. Here's the deal. Jesus gives a parable about a kingdom of heaven is like, and he talks about this man who invited all of his friends to a wedding.
My people.
See, we're already saving time.
Yes.
He's inviting them to a wedding and they don't come.
Yeah.
And so there's retribution on those guys.
Yep.
So he goes out into the streets and he invites everybody.
Those guys bad. These guys good.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so these guys come and there's one fella who ends up at the feast and he is not clothed in the right clothes.
Uh-huh.
And we all know that has to do with baptism.
Wah, wah.
He was not baptized.
Mm.
And so therefore, according to our Acts 2:38 exegesis with the heater that just turned on. I'm feeling nice and warm now.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice and toasty. Through the framework of Acts 2:38,
uh-huh.
which we are accused of always operating.
Yep. Uh-huh.
Save yourself some time.
Yep.
The guy sitting at the table
mm-hmm.
was not immersed into Christ. Done with that.
Mm-hmm.
Out the door.
No, I think there's a little bit more
really?
To this story. Yes.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. There's a little more nuance to this parable.
You call yourself restoration
right.
movement.
Exactly. Yeah, I think there is quite a bit more to this story. You already kind of laid out the nuts and bolts of Jesus' parable. He initially sends out or describes the invitation sent out by a king. And so he calls his slaves and he tells them to go into all his kingdom and invite those to whom for whom the kingdom and this particular wedding feast have been prepared. Like, these are the guys who expect it. They've been prepared for it. These are the guys who should have it. And he gets nothing but excuses, right?
Yeah.
He gets the, so I got to, I need to wash the cat. And
yeah. Busy business trip.
A lot of those.
Yeah.
Right. So Jesus actually tells this parable in slightly different terms in Luke chapter 14. And here they give three specific excuses. The first one said, I bought a piece of land. I need to go out and look at it. Please consider me excused. Now, I'm not sure
mm-hmm.
what's going to happen to the land if he doesn't go out and look at it.
Yeah, but realtors require appointments, right?
So make one for later.
Oh.
Like,
I'm not sure how
that's true.
What's going to happen? Like, I'm pretty sure the land is still going to be there. I don't want to disappoint my realtor. I've never heard that term in life, but okay.
Yeah. Another one said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen and I need to go try them out.
Ooh.
So I don't know what this would be in. What is this in modern?
Ooh.
Is this, I bought a new tractor?
Well, it could be, but also
not many people buy tractors.
That's a business tool. That's a tool of livelihood.
All right. So we're talking about a capital investment.
Capital investment. And
okay.
he needs to get going on that. He just bought a new computer program.
Got to get him in the field.
System. He's got to get the people up to speed. Yeah.
My ROI clock is ticking.
Yes.
And so he says, please consider me excused. And the third one said, I've married a wife, and for that reason...
So what's the parallel to today on that?
I have no idea. I was hoping this is where you could help us out.
I think it's just he married a wife.
He married a wife. Full stop. End of story.
Yeah.
Consider me excused. No, he says, please, let me off the hook, and, I just married this wife, and so I don't know why exactly that would...
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's your priorities, buddy.
I don't know. But for whatever reason, I mean... Mom used to say any excuse is a good excuse. When you need one, any port in a storm will do.
Mm-hmm.
And so they don't have to be good excuses. And I think that's actually maybe a little bit significant because the excuses that people make when God calls them through the gospel message are equally reasonable.
Well, they seem to be, at first.
Maybe. I mean, really, that was why you didn't have time for the gospel? I mean, it doesn't hold up for very long.
Oh, I see.
It's just an excuse.
Equally reasonable as in their...
Unreasonable, yeah.
Got it. Exactly. Okay.
Yeah, they both carry as much water.
Uh-huh.
It just doesn't make any sense.
Okay. Yeah, no, we'll leave it there.
Uh-huh.
The marrying a wife thing, if there was word
that... You better just leave it there. You had the right idea. Okay. So these guys have received the call, and biblically, the call is the gospel message. So they heard the gospel message, and they did not respond. So they rejected that, and so Jesus describes what will happen to them. This group first is the one who said thanks, but no thanks mm-hmm. to Christianity, even though they should be the ones most prepared to accept.
Because they have been prepared for it.
They are the ones expected to come.
Right. So this would be, in Jesus' day, the Jews.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yep. These guys have everything, right? They've got the promises made to the fathers. They've got the covenants. They've got the law. They have all these things that should prepare them so that at this moment, when the invitation comes, obey the gospel, and they don't. Even though, like, they have, as Paul said, they have every advantage. Yeah. So, no problem. We'll just pivot. He sends out, in that case, he sends out his slaves into the highways and the byways. Go therefore, this is Matthew 22:9. Go therefore to the main highways, as many as you find there, invite to the wedding feast. Because by nature of their refusal, they have judged themselves unworthy of his invitation. And so he says, all right, no problem. We're done with them. Go find me someone else. Go find me anyone else. But the wedding hall is ready. The feast is prepared. I need guests. And that, of course, is us. That's the Gentile world. So not those who maybe by nature were prepared
right.
for the gospel call. We didn't have the same background as the Jews. However, the Lord says, I will take any and all. So similar to the dragnet parable, like we'll pull them all in,
yep.
we'll sort them out later.
Right.
But then we have a problem.
Well, you mean with the Gentiles that come in?
Nope.
Oh, you're talking about the...
The other problem. Yeah, that problem.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. For many years, I viewed that the problem, the guy that's not dressed in the right clothes.
Yeah.
Okay. As being someone who was not part of the kingdom of God and did not belong there.
Mm-hmm.
So we teased that at the beginning of this episode because that's been something that's been preached quite a bit.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. So it's not quite that cut and dry, or it's not, actually, you'd probably say it's not even that at all. It's a completely different, the lack of clothing is something different. But let's dive into that verse that talks about the guy and not having the wedding clothes.
Verse, sure. So Matthew chapter 22, verse 11, the king came in to look over the dinner guests. He saw there a man not dressed in wedding clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to him, well, friend, how did you come in here without wedding clothes? And there's no good answer to that question.
He was speechless.
Exactly. So the king said to his servants, bind him hand and foot, cast him into the outer darkness. And in that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Many are called, few are chosen.
Okay, so I'm going to just sidetrack for just a minute. We attended a wedding this last weekend.
Uh-huh. Sorry to hear that.
Yeah. Well, actually, it was very good. I have to say, it was actually heartwarming. But anyway.
All right. I'm happy for you.
Thank you. It was a nephew.
Okay.
Anyway, shout out to you, Alex and Kiandra. But you see all kinds of different clothing at a wedding.
You see
mostly older folks are wearing, the fellows are wearing a coat and maybe a tie, but at least a coat.
But you've got to be over at least 45 to do that.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
But, there was that, from that all the way down to guy in Converse and baseball hat.
Nice. It's a good look for you.
Yeah. Well, but see, I blame Alex and Kiandra because they did not provide wedding
clothes. There you go.
But all joking aside, in this day, though, wedding clothes were provided. There was really no reason to not show up in wedding clothes, right?
It came with the invitation.
So for this fellow to get kicked out, it wasn't just he's wearing the wrong style or the wrong brand.
Or it's not because he's too cheap.
Yeah, it was there. He specifically chose not to wear the clothes that were provided, which is really a sign of disrespect.
Exactly.
To the person hosting the wedding.
Yeah. Yeah. If you show up in sweatpants,
uh-huh.
you're out. Especially, I mean, this is a big deal, right? It's the king who sent out these invitations, and along with it, as you pointed out, those clothes. So to show up not dressed in the clothes that were given to you is really a slap in the face to the king. And that does have to, I don't know what he was expecting when he showed up, you know, in his sweats, but he did. Yeah. And that's what you're going to get.
Mm-hmm. Out of touch. Maybe we call it delusional. No, I, seriously.
To try and encapsulate this guy, I'd say blasphemous. To publicly disrespect the Lord is blasphemy. And I don't know who this guy thinks he is that he just shows up as if he owns the place, publicly disrespecting the king. Well, it's hard to chalk that one up to just foolishness or like, how do you not know what you're doing here? What do you think?
Well, I think it depends on your level of honesty. So there is the blasphemy part for sure. It is blasphemous regardless of the intent. It is blasphemous. But a person might, they can tell themselves all kinds of things. And it, maybe what I'm doing is advancing past this specific text here in the application that we're going to be making today, reading some of the application into this. Because I think what we'll find when we're talking about the application, there are all kinds of mental gymnastics people can play to convince themselves that they are dressed appropriately. Am I wrong on that?
Well, I think that's true. I think people do delude themselves, certainly, that they're doing one thing or another. And I think that's a good take. But when he comes in and he's in the presence of the king, there's no more self-delusion.
Mm-hmm.
And he's speechless. He doesn't offer any excuse and say, well, I thought I was, or, you know, aren't these the clothes you sent? Or, well, I'm in the process of putting them on. There's none of it. It's too late for all of that. When he comes face to face with the king, it's obvious to him and everyone, you did not put on those wedding clothes. So let's take a look at a couple of those. So in Galatians chapter 3, we read in verse 27, he says, all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. And we get a couple of those in the scripture. This one in Galatians particularly identifies the being clothed with Christ with immersion.
Mm-hmm.
But we've already kind of hinted that it's more elaborate than that. There's more nuance. So what's the nuance? Here it is in black and white. You're baptized into Christ. You clothed yourselves with Christ.
Done.
Exactly.
Okay. I'm finished. I've arrived. This is it.
Right.
Yep. You should be happy to have me here.
And we are. But consider Romans chapter 13, where in verse 14, he writes to Christians and tells them to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts. So these guys have already been baptized. They've already been immersed into Christ. They've already been clothed with Christ.
Uh-huh.
And now they're supposed to put Christ on again?
Is this where you keep becoming rebaptized? Like, you know, somebody gives a very powerful sermon.
Yeah.
And you find yourself going forward at the...
No. This is what Ephesians chapter 4 talks about when he says in verse 23 that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on, here he's described as the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Again, this is what we're to put on. It's in the likeness of God and it's the new self, but we're putting it on, and Christians are encouraged to do that. Not once when they're immersed, not twice, but continually. This is something that's done as a part of Christianity. The putting on of Christ doesn't stop when you come out of the waters of immersion. That's when the clothes really have been handed to you and you begin to put them on. Then through practice, we put them on more and more. And so we are not transformed into the world, but we're conformed to the image of Christ.
Transformed by the renewing of our mind. Talking about Romans 12, 1 and 2.
Exactly.
Okay. So is this really another way of saying a person who does not excel still more? Like, so if we're looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, when we're told to excel still more, is that what you're saying, is a person who just kind of ends up happy where they're at and they don't continue to grow? Or What does that look like?
Exactly, right? Like that. Okay. It looks like the guy who got started in Christianity, because this guy was called to the wedding feast. He responded to that call. He showed up at the wedding feast, which is more than the other guys did, who just simply excused themselves and said, thanks, but no thanks. This guy answered, he responded to that call, and he shows up. But he shows up, as it were, empty-handed. Like, he gets there, okay, but what happened in the meantime? He reached that point where he just decided, I'm going to quit. This is good enough.
But he doesn't say it like, I'm going to quit. That's rarely what we would call, I'm going to quit to us looks like falling away, right?
Yeah.
Lord, I'm choosing not to go for it. But if I'm hearing you correctly, there's not that much of a difference other than maybe it looks a little different.
Certainly looks different to the person who's in it, because they can, in many cases, appeal to their own efforts and say, well, see, I'm doing this and I'm doing that.
Right.
And the fact that I'm not making any progress in Christianity can be swept under the rug, because look at the things that are positive that I am doing.
Sure. I'm at assembly, or my kids are enrolled in the school.
Oh, that'll definitely get mileage.
That's a couple of years worth, right, sir? Or I homeschool. Yeah, I don't know how much mileage there is there.
There's a lot of danger of people falling into that. That's a lot of the thrust of Hebrews 3 and 4 is, yes, you've had good news preached to you, but if it's not united by faith and you're continuing to pursue that, it's of no value.
To pursue what?
To pursue Christ.
Okay.
I mean, to pursue the continuation of that Christian walk. If you got started and you received the good news and congratulations, that's awesome.
Uh-huh.
But if that's where it ends,
mm-hmm.
you don't make it.
Okay, so help me out.
Mm-hmm.
So I've gotten a wedding invitation.
Okay.
And I'm staring in the closet and I'm deciding what I want to wear.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So the bottom line is, but I'm looking in there and I'm seeing some sweats. I'm seeing a couple of t-shirts, and then I'm seeing some other things too. Help me put some clothes on here for the wedding. Help me get dressed appropriately for the wedding. So specifically, what does it look like to be clothed with Christ in the sense that you're talking about?
So there's a couple of ways to work through that. One that is Revelation chapter 19 and verse 7. He says, let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. There's a lot of parallels between this Revelation 19 passage and the parable in Matthew chapter 22. We have the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's the kind of a feast that's being given in Matthew 22. And in this case, it's the bride described in Revelation 19 who was given the clothes, fine linen, bright and clean. It was given to her to make herself ready. And he describes them as the righteous acts of the saints.
The righteous acts of the saints are the clothes here. But as saints, it's our faith that grants us righteousness. It's a righteousness by faith, just like Abraham's righteousness. So his faith was credited to him as righteousness. So what specifically are you talking about?
So Colossians gives a list, but you can find several of these throughout the scriptures. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12, for example, he says, so as those who've been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion and kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And beyond all these, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Like, that's a pretty good list of the kind of character that the Lord is looking for in those who are going to put on Christ. It's not just simply copying Jesus' deeds. If I take a few baskets out, some loaves and some fish, and I hand those out to people, that's not the righteous acts that the Lord is looking for. But if by faith I put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, and I apply that in my own space, in my own sphere of influence, then that is something that looks good to God. That is something that God approves of.
So I notice in this passage, the language that's being used here is the same language that was used for the feast. Putting on. You're choosing to clothe yourself with certain things. So this isn't a passive endeavor that just by being plugged into the assembly, it's automatically going to happen. Just because we take the Lord's Supper, it's automatically going to happen. Just because you mentioned a copying Jesus actions in the sense that, well, Jesus got up and prayed, so I'm going to get up and pray. Jesus did that. So there's value in that. But what you're talking about is a specific endeavor to put on Christ's characteristics through faith.
Yep.
So what does that look like? So when I am standing at the closet here, we're going to continue the analogy.
Yeah.
I'm standing at the closet and I see on the hanger, I see compassion hanging there.
Yeah.
What does it look like to put on compassion? Or I see, oh, look over on the hanger next to it, there's some humility hanging there.
Mm-hmm.
What does it look like to put on humility? Help us get closer.
Okay. Well, in your metaphorical closet, thankfully there's a mirror close by.
Yeah.
Right. And so when we really look into the mirror of the scriptures and we see the character of Jesus portrayed there, we get to see a very visible example of what it looks like to be compassionate. So Jesus felt compassion for the multitudes and he would stay later. He would go here, he'd go there and he would heal them and he would, right, because he had compassion. Now, obviously I can't heal anyone, but I do have opportunities in my own life to demonstrate compassion to those I can help. So it's not like we can paint an exact picture of this is what you must do in order to be compassionate, but it requires a little bit of application. If I've seen the character of Christ in the scriptures, he's provided that character for me through his example. Now it's time for me to try it on, right? And that means I got to put it in my daily schedule. A good place to start is usually at home. Let's put on a heart of compassion for those closest to us. Hey, how about we put on some kindness and humility, maybe some gentleness and patience for those who are in our local assembly? How about we bear with one another and forgive each other, even if we have a complaint against anyone, right? Those are directed toward people who are also reading this letter, who should be trying to put on the same thing. So we'll cut them a little extra slack. That's a good place to begin. So, but that's going to continue because once it's put on, well, it continues in application for those who are outside of Christ. And so we're going to bear with them and we're going to put up with them and we're going to forgive them and we're going to have compassion for them. In as much as we have opportunity, we're going to wear that all over the place. It's going to become our new favorite hoodie. The one you wear all the time. That one.
Yeah.
That's the one.
Uh-huh.
But they should become our most comfortable clothes. You know, it's funny when people put on a uniform or they have to wear a dress code or something. At first, it's uncomfortable, partly because maybe the clothes don't fit the way they'd like them to, but
most uniforms don't.
Right. But partly because they change the way we view ourselves. And when you put that uniform on, a new identity comes with it. And when we put on Christ, a new identity comes with that. We have to see ourselves a different way. And if you're wearing Christ, if you have Christ on, well, then it compels you to act according to what you're wearing. I hate it, but in this case, the clothes really do make the man, right? What you put on should determine how you behave yourself and how you act towards the people around you. It should start with those closest to you, and it should just move outward in concentric circles as we become more confident in who we are and in the clothes that we wear.
And we'll see you next time
on Internet Radio.
Yeah, thank you for listening. If you like what you hear, you can be sure to never miss an episode by visiting innermanradio.org or get automatic notifications on your phone with the Innerman Radio app. It's available on Google Play or Apple stores.